The Department of the Navy will soon announce the creation of a new rapid acquisition office whose mission will be translating emerging technologies into actual weapon systems much more quickly than the Navy and Marines can do today. We get more from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
Sean Stackley, the Assistant Secretary of the Navy for Research, Development, and Acquisition, mentioned the department's plans in response to questions at a Thursday hearing about whether the Navy needed to build a capability similar to the Air Force's Rapid Capability Office. The answer is yes, he says, and the Navy's already doing so. The new organization's primary purpose, he says, will be to better connect science and technology research already being done in Navy Department research facilities with the short-term, real-world equipping needs of sailors and Marines.
We do have a very strong technical base that we need to better leverage, and we need to marry it up more tightly with the fleet and the Marine Corps to short-circuit that longer process that goes through the requirements definition, the budgeting process, to ultimately get into a program of record.
Stackley says the Secretary of the Navy, the Chief of Naval Operations, and the Commandant of the Marine Corps are likely to make a formal announcement standing up the new organization within the next several months. But he says the Navy's take on a rapid acquisition office will differ from the Air Force's approach. The Air Force's Rapid Capability Office, created in 2003 and tasked to look at promising technologies from across the Defense Department, but primarily focuses on delivering new capabilities to the service's combat fighters and unmanned aircraft. Stackley says the Navy's version will be more comprehensive and will look for ways to prototype new technologies that might be used across all of the Navy and Marine Corps' mission areas.
My organization, alongside the CNO and the Commandants, what we are doing is we're aligning our teams, and it's going to be one team, to bring the best technology and technical experts that we have to bear against the highest priority requirements that are being defined by the fleet today. And then let's launch now into experimentation and prototyping on how to deal with either that threat or that critical technology, while in parallel the machinery starts up for requirements definition and budgeting. So by the time we get into that cycle, we have a firm understanding of the technical, we have a much greater understanding of the cost, and we have started to shape and point our industrial base towards the solution. Make progress in the interim, and then reduce the amount of time it takes on the back end to ultimately field the longer-term solution.
Stackley says the Navy's 2017 budget proposal will include a request that Congress allow more testing and prototyping of new technologies within the funding lines that pay for large programs of record, such as ships and airplanes, similar to the flexibilities the Navy already has within its research and development accounts. His testimony came during a hearing of the House Armed Services Committee, convened on the topic of experimentation and prototyping, as the committee looks for ways to make the acquisition process more agile and plans for another round of reform initiatives in the next defense authorization bill. Funding flexibility was a common theme among the witnesses from all three military departments, since under the current process, it takes DOD a full year to prepare a budget, another year to argue its merits before Congress, before the point that the money's actually locked in and being spent. Lieutenant General Michael Williamson is the Army's top uniformed acquisition official.
As I'm progressing with a combat vehicle or even a tactical truck, and if I discover through some of the applied research or industry comes up with a better transmission, I'm on the path where I'm building a system. But a year into that, someone says, there is a great capability
right
here, a new transmission that will reduce fuel requirements by 50%. Because of the way we identify how funding is going to be used, it will be a year before I can flex within my budget for that program to start doing integration work with that new engine.
Yeah.
And so if I have some leverage, if I have some flexibility, say, great technology, because of things like modular systems architecture, I can start doing the work to plug that in now.
Once the Defense Department releases its formal budget proposal next month, it plans to follow up with a series of informal briefings to congressional, authorizing, and appropriating committees explaining how it plans to use prototyping to integrate new technologies onto major weapon systems. Part of the message, Stackley says, will be that many prototypes will fail, but the DOD needs to fail early instead of building large programs of record that rely on the promise of unproven technologies. He says the department already has legal authority it needs needs to conduct more prototyping. The challenge will be convincing Congress that DOD is not squandering money in the process.
We're going to be coming over with the budget to lay out an approach and a process that will give you all the confidence and the insight and the oversight in terms of how we would execute funding to increase the degree of experimentation and prototyping that we're describing here today.
And you don't feel you can do that with existing legislative authority?
Oh, actually, I think we can. What we need to do is convince the Congress that it has the degree of oversight and insight that it needs to do its job.
Williamson says the military also needs more freedom to spend on technologies, even when they don't have an obvious connection to the major programs of record that make up the bulk of DOD's acquisition funding.
But the reality is that in many cases, as I look at whether it's a subsystem or whether it's an end item, in some cases, it may be difficult to integrate, it may not be mature enough, and you may have to walk away from it. And so the notion of risk sort of becomes very important, because what I'm finding, and I've watched this in our business for a while, is that unless that technology is mature enough to plug in, we're not willing to make the investment. If it's not at the point where you have a great confidence, it's often hard to defend the funding associated, not only internally within the service, but also at the department. And just as an example, so for soldiers, for a dismounted soldier, the load that a soldier carries is really important. And so as we have more and more electronics on a soldier, one of the investments that we have to make is in batteries, and just purely power. And so the investment that we make in efficient battery systems, I may not be able to trace to every specific program that will use it, but there will be a number of programs that will leverage the efficiencies that are discovered. I need the capability to be able to experiment in those areas, and then, as I get more definition, be able to apply it directly to a program.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this story with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.